Love Letters of Great Men, edited by Ursula Doyle and read by Anton Lesser. The commonly held view these days is that people don't write love letters anymore, and that email and text messaging are death to romance. And it does seem unlikely that even the most impassioned lover would today claim, as the playwright Congreve does, that nothing but you can lay hold of my mind, and that can lay hold of nothing but you. Then again, Congreve was a literary genius. But Nelson most definitely was not, and even he came up with the stirring formulation to Lady Hamilton, Nelson's alpha and omega is Emma. Perhaps people have grown less romantic and more cynical, or perhaps people were less self-conscious than we are today. Certainly, irony, the presiding spirit of our age, has almost no place in this collection. So, while reading all these love letters and finding out the stories behind them, it was tempting to think that we modern barbarians have lost faith both in love itself and in the art of its expression. But in fact, for the most part, it wasn't the elegantly worked, impassioned declarations that I found most touching in the letters that follow, or rather, not those alone. It was when they bumped up against more prosaic concerns, like the unreliability of the postal service, or the need for clean linen, or the sending of regards to the beloved's mother, or a description of a dream, that the letters suddenly came alive somehow, and their writers seemed more human. It could be argued that the flowery declarations were more for show, and in some cases posterity, than the genuine expression of genuine feeling, that they grew from convention rather than conviction. And there is a case for calling this book Great Men Going On About Themselves Since A.D. 61. Certainly some of those here would have benefited from being taken aside and gently told, it's not all about you. But to claim that a text message saying, in pub, football, extra time, back, later, XX, is more genuine and therefore romantic than a declaration such as Byron's that, I more than love you and cannot cease to love you, is obviously nonsense. So while it is to be hoped that this collection entertains, moves, and sometimes amuses its readers, it might also serve to remind today's great men that literary genius is not a requirement for a heartfelt letter or text message or email of love. Ursula Doyle, London, 2008. Pliny the Younger, circa A.D. 61 to circa A.D. 112. Pliny the Younger, Gaius Plinius Caecilius Secundus, was the son of a landowner in northern Italy. After the death of his father, he was brought up by his uncle, Pliny the Elder, the author of a famous encyclopedia on natural history. In 79 AD, Pliny the Elder was killed during the eruption of Vesuvius. Pliny had a career in law and government, first as a consul, and then as governor of a Roman province. He left behind 10 books of letters. 9 are to friends and colleagues, the 10th to the Emperor Trajan. To Calpurnia, his wife. You will not believe what a longing for you possesses me. The chief cause of this is my love, and then we have not grown used to be apart. So it comes to pass that I lie awake a great part of the night thinking of you, and that by day, when the hours return at which I was wont to visit you, my feet take me, as it is so truly said, to your chamber, but not finding you there I return, sick and sad at heart, like an excluded lover. The only time that is free from these torments is when I am being worn out at the bar and in the suits of my friends. Judge you what must be my life when I find my repose in toil, my solace in wretchedness and anxiety. Farewell. Henry VIII, 1491 to 1547. Henry VIII first encountered Anne Boleyn in 1526, when he was married to his first wife, Catherine of Aragon. The Roman
Sample complete. Ready to continue?